And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Dennis Ward and Rose Hoffman Cormier. Dennis is an author of books and plays, and both of you have been in our studios before.
Yes.
Talking about some of these works of Dennis's, and Rose, you have been in his plays before.
Yes, I have.
Dennis, you have a series of books about a pretty interesting woman who lived in our community for many, many years. And the two books that you have so far in the series are Mademoiselle Gigi and Madame Gigi. We'll be talking about those. And also your latest play called Finding Nelson Mandela. And Rose plays the main character in the play,
yes.
Rose Johnson.
Right.
The play will open this Thursday, and that will be at Cité des Arts. And during the play, I believe there are some opportunities for, going to be some book signings for the Gigi series.
That's right.
So let's start off talking about the play, because that will open this week, and we'll be able to segue into the books. I know you've spoken about the books. You actually had a play based upon her character,
Chez
Giselle. So I think there are many people in our audience who are familiar with her, but this play is about a different character.
Totally different.
Very different. In fact, it feels different than any of the other plays you've written. Again, the title is Finding Nelson Mandela, and it is a comedy, but a drama also. Where did the kernel for this play come from, Dennis?
This play has been fomenting in my head for a long, long time. In 1990, historically, Nelson Mandela visited the city of Atlanta after 27 years incarceration. And I was living downtown Atlanta at the time, and I saw this sea of people on the street. And I joined them, and I saw Nelson Mandela speak at the Georgia Tech Stadium. It was an unforgettable experience of my life.
What, aside from just his person and what he'd endured, what is it about what he said that maybe stayed with you, that struck you so much?
He talked about patience, how he endured and survived long periods of time in total dark, dank cells. And he was forbidden to see his family for over 11 years. And he survived hard labor. Most of his incarceration was under hard labor. He worked in a rock quarry, busting up rocks from sunup to sundown.
So just his very description of what he had been through was impressive and really stayed with you. But you didn't write a historical biographical play about that moment or about Nelson Mandela. You did something else with it. What were you hoping to do in this play?
It's strange because I wove two stories. One was about a family with the wife, the mother of the family, who always made cakes in an effigy of her dead sister and took these cakes on a car trip, a long car trip, to a family reunion. And they celebrated this dead sister. And she
let them eat cake.
Yeah. She's a character, actually. The cake is a character in my play.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Now, that is a very original idea. Did you ever see that anyplace else? Or did you know somebody who just adored making cakes? And
well, Charlie Helfen is the director of this play. And her vision has been outstanding. She comes from an Eastern background of theater, and she is all about the intention of a play. And it was just my intention to have an innocuous object, a cake, decorated as the sister. But she said, no, let's go one step further and make this a live actress.
Wow.
And I was very on board with it. It was like Fourth of July in my head. I said yes.
Well, it's sort of an unusual version of what Weekend with Bernie was, that, you know, where
yes.
Yes.
Weekend with the cake.
Yes.
Rose, you've been in Dennis's plays before. What do
actually,
you
actually all of your all, plays, I believe.
All
huh?
of them? Okay.
Yes.
What is it you like about being in a Dennis Ward play?
Oh, he always has such interesting characters. You know, I've done Roadkill Diner with him, Chez Giselle. I'm blank on some of the ones I've done now.
She played a Madame Cyr.
Yes, I was in Big Daddy's Last Dance, and yeah. So it's just it's not your normal characters. Now this one is a little on the serious side, so that's been very different for me, and it's the first lead that I've ever had. So that's a whole nother, you know, story there.
Mm-hmm. More lines.
A lot more lines.
And people are focused on you.
Oh, yes. But it's a wonderful play.
So it says a comedy drama, but mm-hmm. obviously that's a darker kind of comedy than the ones you've been in before.
Definitely. Yeah. Everything else has been more just comedies or musical comedies with mm-hmm. him mm-hmm. And other plays that I've done. So this is the first serious one. But there are some funny scenes in it, but I play Rose, and she's not as fun as all the other characters I've played before. I mean, she just has to be serious. She's been abused and verbally, emotionally abused. So, it was an interesting character. It really was.
And how did you create a relationship with the cake? I mean, Charlie Helfen is directing, so obviously the director helps.
What he wrote and what Charlie directs, it's been very interesting. Actually, she is in my head. She is talking and mm-hmm. moving, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. The cake is actually supposed to be something in my head, because cakes aren't really supposed to be able to talk. So the things that she's saying, which are kind of crazy, come from my mind, whereas I'm more of a nice, calm type person.
So it's really an aspect of your personality. So help me with this. It's not just an inanimate cake. There's actually someone playing the cake.
Mm-hmm. But we're not going to cut her up.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to ask how that fit in there.
The cake is being played by Tara Guy.
Okay.
Chris Traha is my husband, Harry. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Gus Campbell plays Miss Bell, who is a nurse that takes care of Mother Johnson. And then Mother Johnson is in the play. I'm sorry, the person's Mother Johnson, Maureen Brennan. And Gus Campbell is the nurse.
Right.
So we have an excellent – and Dennis, of course, he's in the play.
And who do you play, Dennis?
I play George Cracker.
I'm sorry?
George Cracker.
That's the character's name.
Yeah.
Well, let's bring these two parts of the story together, because some people may forget that we started off talking about Nelson Mandela,
mm-hmm.
and the play is called Finding Nelson Mandela. How do you bring these two stories together? We don't want to give away the whole story, but why did you put these two journeys together?
This story is a car trip, mm-hmm. and at the beginning, Rose is one person, and at the end of that car trip, she is completely different. She, Miss Bell, is an African-American nurse who takes her to the threshold of her freedom. And coincidentally, Nelson Mandela has found his freedom. He stepped through the doorway to his freedom. So their two destinies collide.
And is this happening concurrently? Did you set the play at the time when Nelson Mandela was in?
Right. We start out the first act. Scene one is 1960s, when there's a social revolution going on. And then the rest of the play is 1990s, which is mm-hmm. the time mm-hmm. of when all this is going on with Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm. So two very interesting journeys toward freedom and transformation, I guess, is
going on. The play has themes of racism, sexism, family dysfunction, which all seem to be in abundance today. So during these rehearsals, it has struck me how this play and the reality of our world is so concurrent.
Mm-hmm. As a French phrase, le plus ça change, le plus ça reste le même. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Or mm-hmm. maybe we learn new things from situations that are similar. Now, you mentioned Charlie Halfen. She's been in our studios as well. She's directed many plays in this area. Why did you choose Charlie to be the director of your play?
Danny introduced Charlie and we just started a friendship, mm-hmm. and she loved the script. She had a vision that was concurrent with mine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been a work in progress. Every new original play that I've had, you know, goes through changes, rewrites. But this one has been just explosive for that type of thing. And it hasn't been static at all.
Well, that's writing a play is a very different animal than a novel. You write the novel, maybe an editor looks at it, but it gets printed and it's pretty much like you envision. But a play, something, it's not just you, is it? It is the director, it is the actors, something, it becomes three-dimensional. How have you felt about your creation as it has progressed and transformed into, you know, 3 days before opening night?
The collective genius of the director, the actors, the playwright has a synergy that works well together. If my attitude is such that, you know, I allow that space to happen, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I do. I feel like the more we can get on board, and it's not that I'd never say no, because I do at times, but you know, pretty much there's a synergy, and there's been a synergy all summer mm-hmm. with this mm-hmm. that has been very enlightening to me. I've seen directing through a totally different lens than ever before. Charlie's got a unique style that is unique to this area.
So what is your feeling about this creation, this child? What do you feel about it now, this what it's become?
I definitely am excited about premiering it at CITE, and I hope people come and they, you know, you never know who is in that audience that it might affect their life.
Nelson Mandela did not know you were there and that mm-hmm. you would write a play someday.
That's right.
No, we don't know who's in the audience and how it will touch them or transform them. How has it affected you as an actress, Rose? You know, you've been in a variety of roles in Dennis's plays, but
it's
this one is
actually
very
touched me very deeply. Mm-hmm. There's times when there's parts where it has to be a very sad situation, and I think about something I'm not going to mention on
you don't want to give it away.
but yeah, and then I just cry, you know. It's and that's good for this particular role that I'm playing. But I'm thinking up lots of things that have gone over in my life over the years, and well, that's all I can say.
Well, just hearing how it's affected the two of you, the writer,
yes.
the actress, that's always a sign that if it touches you so deeply, mm-hmm. It will touch us and the audience as well. If you are just tuning in, my guests are author Dennis Ward and Rose Hoffman Cormier. Dennis is the author of the Gigi series. We'll be talking about that in just a moment, as well as a new play, Finding Nelson Mandela, that will open this Thursday at Cité des Arts. Mm-hmm. Rose is the main character, who is
yes.
also called Rose, mm-hmm. Rose Johnson. And that will run for 2 weekends, Dennis?
That's correct. Till opening this Thursday the 24th to September 3rd.
So how many performances?
It's
six, eight performances yeah. at Cité des Arts.
A Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee, and then the following week.
Over those 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Again, directed by Charlie Halfen, who you mentioned a few of the actors. Would
yes.
you, are there some others you want to mention?
Well, I think I got
you got the
five.
Whole list. Okay.
Tara Guy, Chris Traha, Gus Campbell, Maureen Brennan, and Dennis Ward.
All right. And that is Finding Nelson Mandela by Dennis Ward. There will be book signings, maybe at the beginning and during intermission, for the Gigi series. Let's talk just a bit about that. You've been in our studios before talking about her with Chez Giselle, and I think you came for the first book. So there's Mademoiselle Gigi and Madame Gigi. Remind those in the audience who may not have heard those interviews or read much about this character, who she was and why you embarked upon this journey to write about her.
Well, I had the privilege of knowing Gigi the last 7 years of her life. And after her death, I did a play, Chez Giselle, at Cité. And I went on to more productions and even winning an award at a theater festival. So it was during these productions that the family and other friends came to me and told me that Gigi had had a life as a teenager surviving the Holocaust. And I had no idea during her lifetime that was the event of her early life. So the more I got digging and writing and realizing that one book was not going to be enough. It was an epic story.
Mm-hmm. So remind us, Chez Giselle is about the part of her life that you knew, I guess, when she had...
I didn't even live here during those
years.
During
that time. No. Well, tell us about that part of her life, because a lot of people do know that.
Yeah, she had the club, Chez Giselle, and it was... a club that was enormously popular here. It accommodated 500 people, and she had Parisian-style cabaret from acrobats to Beausoleil did their first gig there as mm-hmm. teenagers.
And what years? Remind us.
The 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. And she was very open to all types of people. Diversity was, she was colorblind. She, at a time when maybe African Americans or Hispanics weren't allowed in other clubs, gay people, she brought all these different types of people together.
And everyone felt very welcome
yes.
there. So the two books, the first one begins when she is a teenager in France, and you carry her through her journey to Louisiana, marriage, children.
She met a Cajun soldier in Paris accidentally, and they were fell in love and courted, and they were married in September 1945, and 7 months later, she embarked on the SS Brazil with 500 war brides and made it to New York. Gerald was supposed to meet her in New York, and he stood her up. And so she took a train with another French war bride to Texas, who was going to Texas, and they made the journey to Louisiana, to Opelousas. She was greeted by a little fete, and there was a band, and all the townspeople greeted her, and she was like the first war bride to arrive in Opelousas.
She could speak French, too.
Yeah, she could speak French. She ended up on the front page of the Daily World.
Mm-hmm. That part, I mean, if you wrote nothing but that, that what an amazing mm-hmm. story. But you follow her on her journey, and I believe that you have actually written a bit more on her life just recently. You added a chapter to one of the books. And
the first book, I found more details about her courtship mm-hmm. in Paris, and so it was the story of that and her parents' resistance to letting their only child leave the mm-hmm. continent and their lives. And the second book is set up as two alternating stories. I took the map of writing this from Sarah Gruen's Water for Elephants, and where I start with a powerful prologue of the book's climax. And the two stories are woven to a surprise ending.
Well, we won't ask you to give that away. If you are finding this fascinating, you can probably find more on the web. Do you have a website, Dennis, where people can go find out more about the books? Or
ulpress.org. Okay. UL Press is my publisher for both the Gigi series. And they are supporting me to possibly publish a third book in the series.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back to talk about that third book. If you are just tuning in, my guest is author Dennis Ward. He is the author of Mademoiselle Gigi, Madame Gigi, and we look forward to the continuation of the series. He's also a playwright, has written a number of musicals, and also the play Finding Nelson Mandela, which will open this Thursday at Cité des Arts. With us as well in the studio, Rose Hoffman-Cormier, who plays the main character, Rose Johnson, in her own journey and finding herself as well. Pretty fascinating two stories that you put together in this. It's directed by Charlie Halfen. There will be 8 performances, and you can find out more about tickets and everything at the Cité des Arts website.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming by to let us know about your work. So much creativity in our community, and just an amazing foment and ferment of creative endeavors that turn into books and plays and actresses. So
yes.
We appreciate all of the work. Thank you both, Rose and Dennis.
Thank you, Judith.